Well, I want you to imagine this morning that you have just been elected as President of the United States of America. Your job is to make America great again. So, one of your first items is to find a press secretary. This person is going to represent you before the American public. They're going to go in front of reporters, and they're going to go on TV, and they're going to stand there every day, and they're going to get your message across. They're going to convince the American people that you are the best man for the job, and that all of your plans and all of your ideas to make America great again are good, and they should follow along. So you call in your chief of staff, and you say, okay, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an individual who's not very trustworthy, told a lot of lies in their lives, and everybody knows it. They've got a criminal record. I'd like for them to be either in prison or sentenced to prison, maybe even a life sentence or even maybe the death penalty, and I'll give them a full pardon, and then I'll send them out as my ambassador, my representative, the one who will spread the message of my administration. Sounds crazy, right? And you probably know where I'm going with this, don't you? That's exactly what God does, something very similar to that. He calls sinners like you and me to go out into the world and represent him, to spread his message of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who are these sinners? Well, it's us. This morning we're going to briefly consider the great privilege that we have been given as ambassadors for Christ, and we're going to take a look at a rather fascinating account that happened some 450 or so years before our Savior was even born. We're going to talk about the prophet Isaiah and his call. We turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We're told that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." I don't think we can really fathom, can we, what that must have been like for Isaiah. To be able to catch even a glimpse of the Lord in all his majesty, his power, and his glory. This is the Almighty God who created everything we see, who knows every thought in our hearts and in our minds. The Lord who is all powerful. And it brings about really the only honest response that any individual could give in that situation, confronted by the glory and the majesty of the Lord. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." At that moment, as Isaiah stood there in that beautiful vision of the Lord, the only thing he could think of, I'm sure, was, "The Lord is holy, and I am not. I have no right to be here." He was shaking in his boots. This is just one account in the scriptures. There's many more. Think of the fisherman Peter turned disciple after the Lord had given them that great and miraculous catch of fish, and it dawned on Peter that here I stand in the presence of the Son of God. What was Peter's response? He said, we're told that he fell down at the knees of Jesus, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." It was at that point that the Lord turned to him and said, "Peter, do not be afraid. I will make you a fisher of men." That's really the only appropriate response, isn't it? The only appropriate attitude to have when we as sinners step into the presence of God. God's law, all those do's and those don'ts in the scriptures that we know so well, that we learned in confirmation class as we went through the catechism, they're like the voice of that seraphim shaking the very foundation of our lives when we consider that we're going to have to answer to the Almighty God. It was God himself who said, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So what are our options? What are we going to do when we stand before the presence of God? I mean, what options do we really have? We can try and make excuses, can't we? We can say, I can't help it. I was born this way. I'm a sinner. Sure, I am. But everybody else is doing it. That won't work. Maybe we can reason with God. We can explain. We can say, listen, Lord, I can name at least 5 or 10 other people in the world that have done far worse things than I have. I'm not as bad as so-and-so, so I'm okay, right? But we know that's not going to work. Maybe we can bargain with God and we can say, yeah, right, okay, I know I'm a sinner, but, I've done some pretty good things in life, but we know that nothing could make up for the evil that we've done in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Nothing we can do except that which Isaiah did and say, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. All we can do when faced with the holiness of God and his judgment is realize how utterly destitute we are and how bleak the outlook for us is and how we deserve every bit of wrath that the Almighty God could dish out. You want a definition of woe? That's it. Woe is me. That's my condition. And yet in the midst of that woe, something amazing happens. You might call it amazing grace. Isaiah writes, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Isaiah couldn't do anything for himself, and so God did for him what he could never do for himself. Isaiah knew that he was cut off from God because of his sin. He could never relate to God as his father. He could never relate to God as his friend. He could never ever think about spending an eternity in paradise with God. God knew that too. And so God did what he could never do for himself. Notice where that burning coal came from. It came from that altar. The altar of the Old Testament was that place of sacrifice, right? Where the blood of sheep and goats and bulls was shed and poured upon that altar for the sins of the people. Fast forward a couple thousand years, and we find Paul writing, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John writes in his first letter, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin, from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just as the angel delivered that purification to Isaiah, God delivers pardon and forgiveness to us. He speaks words of absolution to us in the gospel of the scriptures that point us to that cross at Calvary where the blood of Jesus was shed for us. And there are no sweeter words that have ever been spoken to sinners like us than those. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin has been purged. And after Isaiah has been cleansed, he hears a voice. It's the Lord himself. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah, this sinful man, is being called by God to be his spokesman. This man of unclean lips, this sinner, is being called by God. And how does Isaiah respond? He says, here am I, send me. The Lord turns Isaiah from a trembling sinner into a bold confessor of Jesus Christ. And he responds with boldness and conviction, here am I, send me. What a roller coaster this was for Isaiah. From woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a sinful man, I have unclean lips, to here am I, send me. This isn't some sort of self-centered, narcissistic statement that Isaiah makes. He's not saying, you know what, I've analyzed my gifts and my abilities and I am going to serve the Lord and God is lucky to have me on his team. It's not that at all. Instead, it's a statement of humble gratitude. It's a statement of confidence, not in what Isaiah can do for the Lord and his kingdom, but instead it's a humble statement of confidence in what the Lord has done for him. When a sinner, when we see and we admit our lost and condemned condition, and we hear from God himself that our iniquity has been taken away, that our sin has been purged, how can we not, right along with Isaiah, raise our hands and say, "Here am I, send me"? The Lord is preparing ambassadors, spokesmen, those who will go out and speak for him. We have this great institution where we come here and we learn God's word and we prepare pastors for the ministry, and that is important and it's good. But what is it that truly prepares someone to go out and serve the Lord? Are you asking yourself, am I being prepared to be an ambassador for Christ? Well, here's a simple test. Ask yourself, am I a sinner? If your answer is yes, I have sinned against my God in my thoughts and my words and my deeds. I have not loved God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And I have not loved my neighbor as myself. You're being prepared. Answer this question. Are you saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ? If your answer is yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, who lived the perfect life for me, died on the cross to pay for my sins, and rose again to give me eternal life, then the answer is yes, you are being prepared. But the real question is an if, right? We're all sinners. We have all been saved by the grace of God through faith. So the real question isn't, am I an ambassador for Christ? You are. The better question is, where? Well, it may be your dorm room mate. It may be the person that sits next to you in class. It may be someone who sits across you from you at dinner or lunch. Maybe somebody you work with. It may be somebody on the other side of town. It may be somebody back home where you're from. It may be somebody on the other side of the country, or it may be somebody on the other side of the world. God gives us opportunities each and every day of our lives, and what a glorious privilege it is to be his spokesman, his ambassador, to speak that good news of Jesus Christ. The only question we should be asking is where and when. And then to pray for that boldness and that conviction. Pray for the love of Christ to dwell in our hearts. And then to raise our hands and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." We are sinners. We have been saved. And the Lord is sending us. In his saving name, amen. We'll sing hymn 770 from the supplement this morning.
Thank you.
close with prayer. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we can never thank you for all the blessings you give us each and every day, but today and every day we thank you for the gift of salvation through the life and the death and the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that the truth and the magnitude of his sacrifice on the cross for sinners like us would fill us each day with his love, and that love will pour over in our lives, that those who see us will see Christ, and those who hear the words we speak will recognize that we have been with Christ. Please help us to be bold and fill us with compassion and love for others, that we may never hold back but always proclaim the truths of your saving word wherever and whenever you give us the opportunity. We pray that you would bless this next hour of Lyceum this morning, that as we consider the great opportunities that you have given us to proclaim the gospel together as a church body, that then too you would fill us with love and compassion for those individuals who have not yet heard the gospel, and lead us into your service by serving others. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.